The message this morning comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30. And this is what it says. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." This is the Word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands and abides forever. May He bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. Salvation is a word that we use in the church a lot, and when we use it, we assume that everyone has a general idea of what it means. It is a rich word with a depth of meaning that kind of gets lost sometimes in the overuse of it. We usually understand salvation as something like the deliverance from the eternal consequences of sin. We are all sinners. We have broken God's laws and offended Him, and the consequence of that is the judgment of God, which is eternal punishment. So, to be saved is to be rescued from the wrath of God. And the result of being rescued from the wrath of God is the privilege of spending eternity in heaven and experiencing not the wrath of God, but the blessings of God. There are other words and phrases that describe the experience of being saved. For instance, entering the kingdom of God is a synonym for salvation. We mean essentially the same thing when we talk about entering the kingdom of God or salvation. You can see that in this passage because the two terms are used interchangeably. Reclining at table in the kingdom of God in verse 29 is the same thing as being saved in verse 23. Jesus preached a message about entering the kingdom of God, and the people understood that He was preaching a message of salvation. So someone in the crowd asked Him a question. Have you ever wondered how many people are going to be saved? Well, that is the question that someone asked Jesus in this passage. How would Jesus answer that question? We don't have to wonder how He would answer that question because we have His answer here in this passage. How does Jesus answer the question, "Lord, are only a few going to be saved?" First of all, He says salvation is offered to all. The offer of salvation is made in Luke 13:24. "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." When Jesus says strive to enter through the narrow door, that is a universal invitation to receive the salvation that He offers. It is a universal invitation, but everyone will not take advantage of it because the door may be too narrow for some. Some people may not want it bad enough to strive for it. That word strive is not incompatible with grace. God saves by grace, but He does not save by grace apart from the means that He has established to get His grace applied to us personally and practically as individuals. We must hear the message of the gospel that Christ died a substitutionary death for sinners. We must want the salvation that He offers so bad that we will do whatever it takes to get it. We must respond to Jesus' invitation. What it takes is repentance and faith. That is what strive means. It means to turn away from sin and to follow Christ, whatever that means. There are other universal offers of salvation in the Bible. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's another one in Revelation 22:17. "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price." Rather than speculate about how many people are going to be saved, it is much more important to know that salvation is offered to all, and you must make every effort to obtain it for yourself. What is this salvation that is offered? It is pictured in two ways here in this text. First of all, it is salvation from eternal misery. Verse 28 says, "In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are cast out." Those who refuse the salvation that is offered now will, at the last judgment, hear God say, "Depart from me, you evil doers. I never knew you." This salvation is to a feast in the kingdom of God. Verse 29 says, "And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God." This is a picture of heaven. It is a place of joy and celebration in the presence of God. I had lost sight of the joyful, celebrative nature of Christianity many years ago when it was brought home to me through a children's musical that my children were in. The musical was based on some parables of Jesus: the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the prodigal son. They sang two songs drawn from those parables. One was called "Let's Have a Party," and the other was called "Kill the Fatted Calf." Those songs expressed the exuberance of the kingdom of God. Heaven is pictured here as a place of happiness and festivity. Salvation is offered one way, through the narrow door. Verse 24 says, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." Jesus is the door. In another place, John 10:9, He said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus is the only door. For the Bible says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus is the narrow door. That means you must enter on His conditions. His conditions are these: "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it." In the fourth book of C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, the silver chair. A little girl named Jill enters the imaginary kingdom of Narnia for the first time, and she sees Aslan, a great, huge lion who represents Christ. And he is lying beside a cool, rippling stream. Jill is very thirsty because she has been crying. The lion asks her, "Is she thirsty?" And she says, "I'm dying of thirst." The lion says, "Then drink." "May I? Could I? Would you go away while I do?" The lion answers this by only a look in a very low growl. And as Jill gazes at his motionless bulk, she realizes that she might as well have asked the whole mountain to move aside for her convenience. The delicious rippling noise of the stream was driving her nearly frantic. "Do you promise not to do anything to me if I do come?" said Jill. "I make no promise," said the lion. Jill was so thirsty now that without notice she had come a step nearer. "Do you eat little girls?" she said. "I have swallowed up girls and boys, men and women, kings and emperors, cities and realms," said the lion. It didn't say this as if it were boasting or if it were sorry or if it were angry. It just said it. "I dare not come and drink," said Jill. "Then you will die of thirst," said the lion. "Oh dear," said Jill, coming another step closer. "I suppose I must go and look for another stream." "There is no other stream," said the lion. And Jesus said, "Strive to enter through the narrow door. He is that narrow door, and He is the only door, and there is no other door. So you must enter into salvation through Him or otherwise perish. Salvation is offered to you now, but not forever. One day the door will be shut." Verse 25 says, "When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.'" What a time to begin to think about entering when the master of the house has risen and shut the door. Is a man to keep God and the whole universe in everlasting suspense? Is the world to wait forever to see if I make up my mind to enter? There is the possibility of beginning too late, of refusing to be serious till the door is shut, and serious no longer avails. It is possible to let your only opportunity pass by. Somebody wrote this poem about lost opportunity. "There's a nest of thrushes in the glen. When we come back, we'll see the glad young things," he said. "We came not by that way again. And time and thrushes fare on eager wings. Yon rose," she smiled, "but no, when we return, I'll pluck it then. 'Twas on a summer day. The ashes of the rose in autumn's urn lie hidden well. We came back not that way. We do not pass the selfsame way again, or passing by that way, nothing we find as it before had been. But death or stain hath come upon it, or the wasteful wind. The very earth is envious, and her arms reach for the beauty that detained our eyes. Yea, it is lost beyond the aid of charms, if once within our grasp we leave the prize. Thou traveler to the unknown ocean's brink, through life's fair fields, say not, 'Another day this joy I'll prove.' For never, as I think, never shall we come back this selfsame way. Salvation is offered to all." Salvation is denied to some. Salvation is denied to the ones the Lord did not know. When the door is shut, many will desire to get in and will say, "We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets." But he will say, "I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, you workers of evil." It is not enough to be in the crowd that ate and drank with Jesus. It's not enough to be in the streets where His Word was taught. Each person must have a personal relationship with Him to be saved. Salvation is denied to evildoers. The Lord says, "Depart from me, all you evildoers." This text is a clear assertion that the lack of righteousness excludes men from the heavenly banquet. Men who persist in doing evil and will not repent will not be let into heaven. Salvation is denied to them. This is not saying that someone can earn their way into salvation by good works, but it is suggesting that there must be repentance. Salvation is denied to the ones who waited too late. Verse 25 says, "When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know you or where you come from.'" Terry Schaefer was a young wife in Moline, Illinois, shopping in a store on 5th Street, looking for a gift to give her husband. She knew what she wanted to give him, and finally she saw it there in the store. She asked the shopkeeper how much it was. $127.50 was the price. She didn't have that much money to spend, so she asked the shopkeeper to lay it away until Christmas and let her pay for it in several installments. The shopkeeper said, "No, I'll not do that. But I will wrap it up and let you take it home and give it to your husband today. You come back within the next few weeks and you pay me when you get the money." She agreed and she took the gift to her husband. That was in September. Less than 1 month later, in October, Patrolman David Schaefer was called to the scene of a robbery. A suspect fled away in a car. David Schaefer pursued the car until it stopped. He got out of his patrol car and walked up to the suspect's car with his gun drawn. When he got to the back door, the driver suddenly jumped out of the car and shot David Schaefer in the abdomen. But Terry Schaefer did not become a widow that night. David Schaefer was bruised badly and released from the hospital the next day because the bulletproof vest that his wife had given him as a present saved his life. When two officers told Terry Schaefer what had happened, she could only cry with thanksgiving that she didn't wait until Christmas to give him that gift. Salvation is offered to all. Salvation is denied to some. Salvation is obtained by many. Verse 29 says, "And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God." Don't get the idea that God enjoys shutting the door and saying, "Depart from me." He has a big heart, and He opens the door to all who will come. Dr. John Payton, the great missionary to the New Hebrides, tells in his autobiography of a very tender incident. He tells that his brother Walter was a sailor that he went to sea when quite a young lad, and that after a voyage or two, no more was ever heard of him. The sea has many secrets to tell someday, but that mother's heart could never conclude that she would never see her boy's face again. At least she resolved that, should he ever come, by day or by night, there would be a welcome for him at the old fireside. And so the last thing she did every night before she retired to bed was to take the door off the latch and leave it open to admit the lost boy. Should he ever come, even in the midnight, there was to be no bar against his entrance, and that mother's heart is only a faint picture of the great heart of God the Father in Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 7 describes a great multitude in heaven. John the Apostle says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Many will come from the east and the west and the north and the south and will take their seats at the feast in the kingdom of God, because God has a big heart. Salvation is offered to all. Salvation is denied to some. Salvation is obtained by many. And finally, salvation is God's sovereign business. God sets the conditions. He says, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. The door is too narrow for you and all of your worldly baggage, but it is wide enough for you. People can't just decide to go to heaven any way that they want to. They must submit to the terms of the Lord Jesus Christ. They must submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God can save whomever He wants to save, and He can deny salvation to whomever He wants to. Verse 30 says, and behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. What does that mean? It means that there are some who think that they are worthier of heaven because of their high position in this world, their noble ancestry, their better training, their greater privileges, but they will not be there unless they enter through the narrow door. God is not impressed with earthly pedigrees and titles and credentials. He can turn the world's reasoning upside down. On the other hand, there are those whom you would think were the least likely candidates for heaven who will be there. Those who are last in pedigree, last in education, last in morals, last in disposition susceptible to grace. But they will enter the kingdom of heaven by the grace of God through the narrow door. And they will be there. And they will be there ahead of the others who thought that they were first. God shuts the door when He gets ready to shut it. No amount of pleading will convince God to open the door once He has closed it. You must take the opportunity while it's open. The door is open today. This is the day of grace. This is the day of opportunity to be saved. The door is narrow. Yes, it is. It's very narrow. But it is wide enough to admit the chief of sinners. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed His blood for me. Died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die. Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all. Who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger, all who fall. Please, do whatever it takes to come to Christ before it's too late. Let's pray.